It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to solve the investor's dilemma.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide actionable steps for you to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, you are going to solve the investor's dilemma. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before I introduce you today to our episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up or subscribe to the show so that you never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of the episode as we have it packed with thousands of dollars in free resources. All right, I'm excited to open up this week's episode about solving the investor's dilemma. Neil, how are you doing?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm doing great. As always, I like to open up our episodes with some data and statistics. So first up, just inflation numbers. Inflation number for July came in at 3.2%. And as a reminder, a year ago, July 2022, we were at 8.5%. So good to see that inflation number coming down. Well, maybe good and maybe not, depending on what you're looking for. But we also found some interesting numbers produced by Visual Capitalist about liabilities by generation. We thought this was pretty interesting. So I'll run through each of the generations for you. The silent generation, people born, think 1928 to 45, and I weren't sure who that was. So people born in that Great Depression, World War II era, they have $500 billion in mortgages and $170 billion in consumer credit. Baby boomers, next generation following that, has $3.4 trillion in mortgages and $1.1 trillion in consumer credit. Generation X has $5.2 trillion in mortgages and $1.6 trillion in consumer credit. And millennials have $3.4 trillion in mortgages, but $2 trillion in consumer credit. So Generation X has the most liability in mortgages at $5.2 trillion, but millennials take the cake with $2 trillion in consumer credit.
It's interesting, and it speaks to probably a couple things. From an education standpoint, the funding one's education, and second, just a lifestyle perspective, no doubt about it. And I think that plays into the importance of investing.
Yes, which is what we're here to talk about today, solving the investor's dilemma. So we wanted to run over for you and break it down into very practical steps so you can understand what are your options for investing in real estate. There is this assumption or this perception people have that investing in real estate is only for people who do that as a full-time job. Maybe they're an Excel wizard and they work on Wall Street. And so they buy these big buildings, and it's for people out there. It's not for your average Joe walking down the street. And that's simply not true. So there are three methods you can have to invest in real estate. Number one is you can be an active investor. You can be that person who is marketing to sellers, they're connecting with brokers, they're finding leads or analyzing deals and investment opportunities. Active investors put deals under contract, they find financing, they conduct due diligence, they work with attorneys and title companies, and they place insurance and close, and they manage the property themselves, or they manage the manager, which can be a whole job in and of itself. So that's your first method to invest in real estate, is to be an active investor. Number two is you can be a passive investor. Passive investors are able to invest in real estate without that being their full-time job. That's a pretty simple way of breaking that concept down. So they find an active investor. You'll hear active investors referred to as general partners, as operators, as sponsors. There's a couple of different terms that get thrown around to describe active investors. But as a passive investor, you find an active investor that you trust, multiple active investors that you trust, and they bring you investment opportunities. So it's your job to analyze those investment opportunities, determine to see if they meet your investment criteria, if you're comfortable with the risk, with the market, the property type, and if it helps you meet your long-term goals. Are you looking for a really consistent cash flow, or are you looking for wealth protection? You simply want something that's super stable and you don't want to lose money. Or are you looking for maybe a heavier value add project that's going to have a huge equity growth at the end after a couple of years? So you invest in deals that you like, pass on ones that don't fit for you. And once you're invested, you receive regular updates on the progress and you earn distribution. Certainly, it is the most hands-off option for you to invest in real estate. So number one, you can be an active investor. Number two, you can be a passive investor. Number three is you can be both. You don't have to be one or the other. You can be an active investor doing your own deals in your own market with the people that you know. And you can also passively invest in other people's deals. It's a great way for you to earn passive income, to take advantage of your tax status if you qualify as a real estate professional. Obviously, talk to your own CPA about that. Diversify your risk into different markets and different property types as a way to complement what you do on a daily basis. So, Neil, do you have anything to add about those three options people have to invest in real estate?
I think you hit it on the head. And I think we can come back to this at the end when we talk about what does the next piece look like. The active and passive, it pretty much is it's a pretty good line for which one goes down. And I see two paths where people get involved. Oftentimes, if you cut your teeth, if you will, in the real estate market somehow, oftentimes you end up in an active spot to start. And then I see people end up doing both. Right? They're active and they're passive for all the benefits, largely because they don't want their money. It has to go someplace and they don't want it in the stock market. And so they know, like, and trust the real estate market and ultimately connect with folks who other active folks who they can become a passive investor with. And for those who are successful in their careers, whatever that happens to be, you could be a doctor, lawyer, you could be a real estate agent, highly successful in what you do. They often just focus in on their career and then become a passive investor from that regard.
Yeah, it's a great way to leverage both real estate and, like you said, if you've got a successful career in something, you're really good at what you do. And so it's not worth your opportunity cost to throw away all of your connections and skills and to try to figure this out on your own. You can do both on your own terms. So what can you invest in, either as an active, passive, or both kind of investor? So number one, people think most often immediately of single family homes. So rentals, rehabs, wholesales, wholetails, novations, Airbnb, they're short-term rentals. There are a lot of ways to invest in single family homes. But as you discovered, single family homes are often they can be a can of worms. So I don't know if you have any comments you want to make, insight into the single family space.
Yeah, I think they're anything but passive. I think the idea of having a passive single family home may be maybe one of the greatest lies that has ever been told in this country. They are anything but passive. Something inevitably breaks. We got tenants, toilets, and termites. Yeah, something inevitably breaks, and always at an inopportune time. And it's going to cost you more than what you think it does. And some of the biggest costs is just turning that over. So whenever somebody does move, you've got to turn that thing over. And no matter how clean you think they'll leave it, they never leave it clean enough for the next person to move in. There's oftentimes thousands of dollars that has to go into that thing just to get it ready for the next person, the next tenant to move in.
Yep. Yeah, like you said, it's certainly something we hear a lot more about single family homes from an education perspective, from people on Facebook or LinkedIn saying, all I did was I just bought this home and I placed tenants in it and now I'm a millionaire. That's the perception that a lot of people have about how single family homes are going to get them to financial freedom. And they often are a lot more trouble than we are made out to believe. So single family homes are an option. Your other option is to invest in commercial real estate. You can invest in industrial properties, big warehouses, flex buildings. You can invest in land, retail, office, mobile home parks, apartment buildings, hotels, medical facilities, self-storage, mixed use development. So think of walkable communities where you have some shops, maybe some offices and apartments on top. You can invest in gas stations, data centers. There's a wide range of commercial properties that are available to investors.
It's huge. You just scratched the surface. You named a solid dozen and the list goes on and on. Farmland, timberland, I mean, a whole bunch of things. And then inside of farmland, specific crops inside of farmland. You can get pretty niche pretty quick. It is a wide variety of things. And the benefit of that is, of course, is that once you understand who you are, what your goals are, you can help narrow down the types of things that you could or should be investing in.
Yes, because as we want to make people aware, not every investment contains risk. There is no investment that is without risk, and not every kind of investment or type of property is suitable for every investor. So it's important to understand what your goals are, what your risk tolerance is, and to use that as a tool to help you narrow down what kinds of properties are a good fit for you to invest in. So there are four means, I'll call them means or ways to invest in real estate. The most obvious is to go out and buy property on your own. This is most feasible with single family homes simply because a lot of people don't have $5 to $10 million just laying around that they can go buy a commercial building with. And that's where most people start if they're going to go into that active investor role. But this does take a significant amount of upfront capital just to purchase and renovate, manage, deal with legal costs and all of those kinds of things. Connections for repairs and time. Time is a huge factor in managing and heading into going out and buying property on your own. And like you mentioned, it's not super scalable. So you might be able to manage a handful of rentals with a full-time job, but pretty soon you're going to find that your hands are tied up and you've only got so many hours in the day. So
there's a number of loan factors that go into that. You can borrow like a single family home, like your 30-year mortgage. You can borrow so many of those under a Fannie Freddie guideline, and then they cut you off. And that's if your debt coverage ratio, they have all sorts of factors that go into one's ability to even qualify for those types of loans. And after that, you're going to a commercial bank, getting a commercial loan that looks no different than getting a commercial loan for a commercial property for, say, $5 million just to buy your next house for $200,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can invest by going out and buying property on your own. You can invest in a REIT, which stands for a real estate investment trust. And some people may not know or be familiar with what a REIT is. So a REIT is, technically, it's a company that owns, operates, or finances real estate. You can think of it as having a somewhat similar structure to a mutual fund. investors can purchase shares in that REIT company and earn dividends based on the number of shares that they've purchased. The pro about a REIT is it's more liquid than going out and purchasing property on your own, but there are some drawbacks depending on what your goals are. So as an individual investor, you have no control or say over what kinds of properties are purchased or sold in that REIT. You have no personal relationship with the operators of that. REITs are traded on the public stock exchange like any other Wall Street investment, and they can move in a more similar pattern with the S&P. There are no tax depreciation benefits for investors who own shares in a REIT, because in the eyes of the IRS, when you own shares of a REIT, you own paper. You do not own property.
Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
Yeah, as you said, there's pros and cons. And the cons are understanding that it's a significant, unique distinction of a way to invest in real estate, if you will, versus the other options you're going to touch on here in just a moment. It's distinctly different.
Definitely. Another option is to invest through crowdfunding platforms. You may be more familiar with the concept of crowdfunding. As it relates to real estate specifically, they are online marketplaces that allow investors to participate, invest in projects with a small amount of money. You have a wide range of investors that are usually drawn into these platforms through social media, through marketing, Facebook ads, that kind of thing, because they can use social media to reach a wide number of people. The pro of these crowdfunding platforms is that it provides individuals access to usually commercial deals for much smaller amounts of upfront money. So if you're tight for cash, this could be a feasible option for you. However, be aware that crowdfunding platforms can often charge a lot of fees or higher fees for their service. So when you are already making a smaller investment amount, when you have a lot of fees that stack up, that really does eat into your returns pretty quickly. Again, you have no personal relationship with the sponsor because that crowdfunding platform really acts as an intermediary between you as the investor, then you have the crowdfunding platform, and then you have a whole host of sponsors, operators that you don't know, you can't access, and you have no control over who that crowdfunding platform chooses to work with. So you can't evaluate the track record of the operators that are selected by the crowdfunding platform.
When I think of the fee structure in here, and the fees are pretty significant on the general partner side, that is the person who's leading the charge, raising the dollars to go do the project. That's where the ultimate, the fees get charged. If I was in that driver's seat, generally speaking, the only way I'd want to go down that path is if somehow we've got a pretty opportunistic deal, generally speaking, that ends up in new development. So on a risk profile curve, it means I'm way on the edge of develop raw ground, develop from build up, ground up development. You're oftentimes in a construction loan, not fixed rate permanent financing. There's a greater level of risk associated with that in order to achieve those higher returns. Nothing's wrong with that. It's just something to be cognizant of to go, is this where I want to be from a risk and reward standpoint? And if you can answer that one direction or another, you know which path to lead you down a better path.
Yep. So the final option is the option that's probably most popular with active investors who invest passively and passive investors who are pretty familiar with the space. And this is investing in syndications. What is a syndication? Maybe it's a term you've heard of, maybe it's new to your ears. It is the process, in simple terms, of pooling capital from multiple investors under the guidance of a general partner or an operator to purchase, own, and operate real estate property, or perhaps a portfolio of a couple of different assets. And so what happens is that deal sponsor and their team, they identify an opportunity, they put it under contract, they conduct due diligence, and they take it to their group of investors, people that they have in their investor database who they know and have a personal relationship with. And they usually present the deal to them with a presentation deck and a webinar, and it's up to those individual investors to evaluate the opportunity that's in front of them and decide, hey, I really like this deal. I want to invest in it, or this isn't a good fit for me. Maybe I don't like the market. I don't like the asset class, and I'm going to pass on it. So for those investors that participate in the deal, they place their investment in the deal, and they earn a return on the money that they've invested in the deal. They aren't involved in the day-to-day operations of the property. That's up to the general partner, the operator that brought the deal to them. And once they exit the property, either through a sale or a refinance, then the investor's initial capital is returned to them along with their equity participation in the deal.
I think it's the most direct route to ownership of property and having the benefits of being a passive investor in that scenario. And you can review a number of these, right? Review 2, 3, 4, a dozen, 2 dozen before you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Educate yourself along the way so you have a really good understanding of what does an opportunity look like that you'd want to participate in.
Yep. And syndications provide investors specifically with some really good benefits. So number one is, as an investor, you have a lot more control. And this is big. So you have control over who you invest with. You build a personal relationship with that operator, and you can evaluate for yourself. You have a call with them. You take time to talk to them and ask them questions. And you can evaluate with your own judgment, do I think this person is qualified? Are they sound? Do they make wise investment and business decisions? And so you have control over that decision. You have further control over what properties and investments you choose to put your money into. You don't have to invest in a deal if you don't like the market, if you don't like the property, if you don't like the underwriting. That is up to you to determine what you invest in. And so if you love stability, you can gear your investments to that. If you can tolerate higher risk, then you can gear your investments towards that. And that is all within your control.
You also get a relationship with the sponsor. So unlike, let's say, crowdfunding platforms, for example, where you have zero relationship with that sponsor, in many cases, they do not know who you are. That's the requirement of the crowdfunding platform, is that they don't know you. In this case, you can build a direct relationship with the sponsor, your ability to get on the phone, to have a conversation with them. They're there. You have an understanding. And likewise, when it goes super well, they have a really good understanding of what you're after and what you're trying to achieve, so that when there's other opportunities that they have available, they can make sure they put those opportunities in front of you and allow you to be the person who makes a decision that whether now's the right time for you to move forward. There's transparency. You get a better understanding of your investment and of the team who's out there on the ground executing on that business plan.
Yeah, definitely. And I think something that is not talked about as much, but having that direct relationship also allows when something goes wrong in a deal, or there's a problem, or the business plan is not going as expected, they talk to you. They make you aware of the situation, they communicate with you, and you're going to have a real human person saying, hey, this isn't going like we expected, and here's our three ways that we're going to fix this problem. You can get into other investments where you don't have that level of transparency, and you're not going to have someone who's going to sit down and tell you, hey, this isn't going like we expected, and here are the solutions that we've come up with to remedy the problem and make sure that we stay on track to get you the returns on your investment.
What I love about direct ownership investing in this is tax benefits, right?
Huge.
Syndications offer significant tax benefits, depreciation, of course, interest deductions that come off of that. They can help reduce tax liability for investors. It's important. Passive losses offset passive income. But if you happen to be considered a real estate professional, naturally talk to your CPA. You want to make sure you're doing everything by the book. The passive losses from depreciation offset your active income if you're considered a real estate professional, if you're taxed as a real estate professional. And so you want to understand it's a very powerful tool. And sometimes it's not particularly advertised or not explained in such a deep fashion there. There's tremendous tax benefits, and one of the largest reasons that makes real estate investing so attractive as opposed to stock market, along with dozens of other reasons, tax benefits, a huge plus, especially inside of syndications where you get the direct ownership.
Yep. And that can apply if you're married and your spouse has a high income earning job. Mm. And if the other spouse is able to qualify as a real estate professional, perhaps you own and manage a couple of rentals on your own, then those losses are able to pass through against the high income earning spouse's wages. But of course, talk to your CPA, make sure you get a clear picture and understanding of how that might be a benefit for you. And just one last thing here on the syndication side of thing that you mentioned, Neil, is direct ownership. So when you invest in a syndication, you own shares of the LLC, and so you have direct participation and direct ownership in that property. And so that puts you in a lot better position than owning shares and of paper. Syndications give you shares of the property.
Hey, but we talked about a lot of things. My question is, if I'm in the audience, I'm listening to this at home, I'm wondering, how do I know what strategy is best for me? What property type should I be looking into?
That's a great question. So I want to give a little insight into what our next episode is going to be, which is helping you evaluate what your risk profile is. So stay tuned for next week's episode where we talk all about risk, helping you understand and figure out for yourself what kind of risk level you are comfortable with. But I'll leave it on this concluding thought. The way to answer that question, or one of the factors to consider, is lifestyle design. So the first question you need to ask yourself is, do I want to be doing what I am doing right now 5 to 10 years from now? Do I love what I'm doing so much right now that I want to keep doing that in 5 to 10 years? And if the answer to that is no, then the only way that future is going to change is if you start taking different actions right now, because your life's not going to magically change in 5 years to be in a different point than where you're at right now if you don't start taking big action today. So ask yourself that question. If the answer to that question is yes, I love what I'm doing, it's a great fit for me, I'm awesome at what I do, that's great, that's wonderful, there's no reason for you to change, just know that you can still invest in real estate, have the benefits that come along with investing in real estate, and still continue to keep up with your current job. There's, like I mentioned at the beginning, there is this understanding that real estate is for other people. It's not available to normal people. And that's just totally false. You can invest in real estate as a real estate agent, as a doctor, as a professor, as a mechanic, as a stay-at-home mom. It does not matter. You can and should and deserve to have access to investing in real estate. You just need to evaluate what fits best with the lifestyle that you want to design. Do you want to be an active investor? Is it better for you to be a passive investor? Or if you can, is it an option for you to do both?
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.